Good day, and welcome to the second quarter earnings for Galaxy Gaming conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to CEO Robert Saussier. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Galaxy Gaming's second quarter 2013 conference call. I'd like to remind everybody that we do have a PowerPoint presentation, so if you're near a computer, you can go to our website, galaxygaming.com, click on Investor Relations, and there's a link there, and that'll bring you into our PowerPoint presentation. And before we get started, I just need to remind everyone that we'll be making forward-looking statements under the Safe Harbor Federal Securities Law, and those statements may or may not come true. Before I turn the call over to Gary Vecchiarelli, our CFO, who will review our financial performance, I want to comment on some of the recent publicity regarding our status in California. First of all, I hope everyone recognizes that as we have always shown throughout history and as a public company, that we've taken the approach to be as transparent as we can in regards to this matter. That has not always been an easy task in this instance, however, since the information we've received from the regulators has oftentimes been inaccurate, inconsistent, and in constant flux. We will try to provide you with the latest up-to-date information we have today. That, of course, could again change tomorrow. It is important to understand that gaming on Indian lands is authorized and regulated by the Federal Indian Gaming Regulatory Act of 1988, that we refer to as IGRA. IGRA defines that each Indian tribe is the primary regulator of gaming on Indian lands. Each state can play a secondary role, and that role is defined by the tribal state compact, which governs the regulatory framework in each state. California is no different. We receive authority to conduct business with each tribal casino by the corresponding tribal gaming commission. The state can investigate and determine suitability, but the tribes are still the primary regulator that issues us our licenses or determines that we do not require one. We continue to be licensed by numerous tribes in California. It is important to understand that the suitability finding by the commission was not against GLXZ. While it does complicate matters for us, to date we've received a notice of revocation from only two tribes, one of which we held an old license but did not conduct any business with their casino. The other tribe amounted to only $700 worth of business per month. We are also seeing examples of where tribes are supporting us. Apparently, there is great concern by certain tribes that, in our case, established administrative procedures were not followed and the tribal state compacts were ignored. For example, in our matter, the California Commission, number one, did not have an open hearing. We never had an opportunity to address the commissioners. Number two, the commission did not notify the tribes and did not provide them with an opportunity to be heard. This is an absolute requirement of the compacts. And number three, did not provide in writing available appeal rights. This, too, is a compact requirement. I personally know three of the four commissioners on the California Commission, and I like them and have respect for all of them. Likewise, I believe they have respect for me. However, it appears that they were guided by their legal counsel to bypass the normal processes. These processes and procedures are required, but were not followed. No one seems to be able to give us an answer as to why or why not. So what is our recourse? Well, on August 6th, last Friday, we filed a petition for writ of mandate seeking judicial review. This is an action before the state courts to reverse the proposed decision. It is based on a number of factors which are too numerous to repeat on this call, but includes the three previous mentioned. In the meantime, we expect to continue to conduct business with California tribal casinos. In addition to the one revocation I mentioned, we lost some revenue with tribes who did not revoke our license. Although it is a regular occurrence to lose placements, We believe at least some of those losses could be related to the negative publicity generated. However, the total amount of lost revenue in California is only $11,770 per quarter, or approximately 0.6% of our total revenues. All of California only represents about 3% of our total revenue. So how do we move forward? First, I mentioned the petition for judicial review. A favorable ruling there could instantly solve everything. The estimated time frame for that is 4 to 6 months. Beyond that, we are continuing face-to-face meetings with the existing state and tribal regulators in California. One area of discussion is for GLXZ to expand into the commercial card clubs in California. This is an area that we have never delved into, and we believe there is a great opportunity to expand our business there. Additionally, we have been in constant communication with gaming regulators in other states, as well as our clients, and keeping them informed and comfortable with us. Most people we spoke with recognize that the issue in California is an anomaly. We have not had any negative fallout in any other jurisdiction. Finally, as an indication of our suitability, we are expanding our licensing presence. Next week, we'll be submitting our application to the Nevada Gaming Control Board for a full, non-restricted manufacturer's license. This will greatly expand our capability of the types of products and services we can offer here in Nevada. Next on our agenda, we'll be submitting applications to new gaming jurisdictions in support of our continued expansion plans there as well. And just yesterday, we received approval from the Mississippi Gaming Commission for one of our new games. So in conclusion, although the prior action by the California Commission was a surprise and an obstacle, we remain focused on the continued building of our recurring revenue base. Without giving any guidance numbers, we believe the two remaining quarters will be very positive, and 2013 will be our best year ever. And with that, I'd like to turn the call over to Gary Vecchiarelli, our Chief Financial Officer, who will review our financial performance. Gary?
Thanks, Rob, and good afternoon to everyone on the call. I wanted to start by echoing what some of you may have seen in our earnings release yesterday. The second quarter of 2013 represents yet another milestone in our company. Despite being the best second quarter in our history, this quarter is our eighth consecutive quarter of growth in recurring revenues. This has translated to seven consecutive quarters of positive EBITDA and five consecutive quarters of net income. I'd like to start by reviewing our results for the second quarter. Bringing us to the charts, let's compare the second quarter versus the same quarter of last year. Revenues for the 3 months ended June 30th were approximately $1.94 million, which is an increase of $154,000 or 9% over the same quarter last year. This continued increase was due to the increased market penetration of our 21+3 product and entry into new jurisdictions. We saw a significant improvement to EBITDAs to $788,000 as well, improving 13% or $88,000. Due to our high margins, our top-line revenues obviously have a direct impact on our EBITDAs. Our SG&A expenses have also decreased compared to Q2, which has also improved our EBITDAs metric. As we have stated on our previous calls, we as a company achieved profitability on a GAAP basis for the year 2012, and I'm happy to say that we continued that profitability into 2013 with a second quarter profit of $85,000. To give you an idea as to how we are progressing for 2013 so far, I'd like to compare this quarter versus Q1 for 2013. Our revenue increased 3% between the two quarters, from under $1.9 million to almost $1.95 million. We saw some of our new jurisdictions kick in the second quarter, and even more tables will be coming online in Q3, in particular Louisiana. EBITDA saw a slight decrease of 3% or $25,000. This was due to slightly higher SG&A expenses as a result of the California issue. We also incurred larger R&D expenses because of the development costs surrounding our new products. Our net income did see a drop also for these reasons as well, as our net income decreased 18% from $104,000 to $85,000. I would like to take a few moments to compare the six-month period ended June 30, 2013 versus the same period ended 2012. Our revenues for the six-month period were $3.84 million, which is a 12% increase, or $404,000 over the same period last year. EBITDA improved significantly by almost $350,000, which is an increase of almost 30%. For the reasons I discussed earlier, this is translated into net income for the six-month period of $189,000, which reversed the loss of $110,000 for the same period last year. Turning our focus to the UK, I'd like to bring back the slide which we introduced on our first quarter call. As I mentioned last quarter, we experienced a negative impact to our UK revenues as a result of an unfavorable foreign exchange rate. When coupled with a slight decrease in activity, that led to lower than expected revenue in U.S. dollars for Q1. You can see how the U.S. dollar tracks versus the sterling on this chart by the green line. The blue line indicates what our billings are in the U.K. As you see, our U.K. activity had an uptick for Q2 of several thousand sterling. Now, I'd like to remind everyone that the U.K. market is unique. Unlike our North American clients, our U.K. clients are billed based on activity. That is, that the operators are billed based on the number of days that the tables are used. So inherently, there may be some fluctuation based on the product mix or seasonality. I will say that we expect our UK revenues to have a significant uptick in Q3 and Q4 of this year as we have issued a price increase for one of our products. This price increase should translate to the largest increase in sterling we have seen since the acquisition. We're also looking at several deals which will further increase our footprint and revenue in the UK. Now let's look at our performance metrics. When comparing Q2 2013 to the same period 2012, we've seen an overall increase in most areas. Our average proprietary table games increased by almost 10% year over year. This was primarily due to an increase in the 21+3 tables, which drove our side bet units and service up. We've seen a slight decrease in premium games year over year. This was due to several reasons. Foremost, the exit of an international jurisdiction, some natural attrition, and the product mix of the UK activity. However, I want to stress that with the rollout of our new products, which are primarily premium games, we expect this number to increase in future quarters. Our MegaShare product is doing well, especially in Washington, where it's branded as Share the Wealth. Here you'll see the average quarterly revenue almost doubled. You also see a healthy increase in the average quarterly revenues for both the BJS and MegaShare products because we have become very particular as to the location of installations and the type of game which is placed on the platform. We find that both of these characteristics play a key role in the success of our table systems. With respect to our TableMax product, we had one removal in the past year. However, it was not a performing system. As you see, the play on the e-tables has actually increased the average quarterly revenue. Looking at the comparison to the prior quarter, you'll see our total table count increased just slightly. Between the quarters, we did see some slight attrition of premium games. Some of this relates to the product mix activity in the UK, and some relates to natural attrition in North American jurisdictions. However, we continue to see additional placements of our 21+3 side bet, which accounts for most of the increase to our average quarterly revenue. 21+3 is our highest priced side bet, and as we place this product, we will see the average to continue upwards. I would like to point out that while we have seen a slight decline in the average quarterly revenue for our premium games, I do not expect this to continue. Of the products we have ready to be rolled out this year, they are all premium games. Two of the products, High Card Flush and our new poker derivative product, will be the highest priced games in our portfolio. I expect this will substantially help this average as we get placements of these innovative products in the next few quarters. We have seen a slight decline in the number of enhanced table systems. However, we are not alarmed by this and do not expect this trend to continue. Our e-tables continue to consistently perform as the average revenue stayed consistent. We are anxiously awaiting the arrival of the Model E, which will allow us to go into additional jurisdictions and further increase our unit count. Before I hand off the call to Rob, I just want to remind everyone of a few items with respect to our investor visibility and our ongoing endeavor to increase liquidity of our stock. Foremost, we've been working on a redevelopment of our website, which will implement our new logo and branding and provide a better user experience. The website will be specifically designed to address all three of our audiences. That's operators or clients, players, and, of course, investors. We're also in the trenches building our interactive game site where players will be able to learn our games and play them for free on the Internet. and we hope to have a mobile app in the near future as well. If you're not following us on Twitter or Facebook, you should be. You can find us under the moniker Galaxy Gaming LV, as in Las Vegas, or there's a link to these social networking sites at the bottom of our homepage to take you directly to those. And if you haven't downloaded our investor app, I encourage you to do so. Not only will you get real-time alerts about the company, but we will be providing more and more content and information through this medium. Now, Rob's going to talk about G2E here in a minute, but we expect to be posting blog reports, tweets, and even Facebook pictures of what's going on from the exhibit floor. So if you are hip to the social media craze, this would be a great way to stay abreast of what's going on at the conference. And, of course, if any of you decide to take the trip to Las Vegas and wish to stop by our booth at G2E, I would welcome the opportunity to sit down with you and show you our products or discuss our financials further. I will now hand the call over to Rob.
Thanks, Gary. So our focus is really on how we grow this company, and we continue to do that. And clearly we know that one of the ways of getting that done is to introduce new products. Gary mentioned about the premium games that we have coming out. We've done a significant upgrade to our Empress Challenge game. That's a very popular PyGal poker game. And we've come up with a couple of things to upgrade it, mainly that we have a no-commission version of that. So that should help quite a bit. Second of all, and I'm taking these out of order if you're looking at the slide, second of all is High Card Flush. You've heard that before, and we've talked about that quite a bit. It is doing extremely well. The reports that I've seen in the casinos that it's been installed is usually the number one, number two, or number three game in the casino. So it's doing very well, and it's held up pretty well. I think we've only had maybe one removal since it was first introduced, but the numbers that we're getting out of the casinos is very strong. And with the announcement that it was approved in Mississippi today, we expect quite a few placements down there. It was on a trial at the Hard Rock Casino in Biloxi, Mississippi, and they had phenomenal results out of there, so we're anxious to have a number of other casinos in Mississippi add that game. And then we mentioned a new Texas Hold'em game. We're not going to release the name to you right away because we're doing a special branding on this, and we're likely to do a press release on that within the next week or so. So I'm going to have to hold off and not jump the gun in terms of what it is, but we have a very, very exciting game we're very excited about here at the company. We reached a deal with a major brand to present this into casinos, and you'll just have to wait for that in the near future. And then Gary also mentioned about the upcoming Global Gaming Expo. So we have a great presence there. We're going to have five brand new games that we're going to be displaying there as well. As part of the branding that we talked about for this new Texas Hold'em game, we're going to have some celebrities that are going to be in our booth where people can come and take pictures with them. So we're pretty excited about that. And because of the size of our booth, we have a pretty good sized booth this year. And because of that, we get a lot of free passes. So any of you that are interested in coming to G2E would like to see us, please contact us here at the office, and we'll make sure you get your free pass. But we really think every year our participation in G2E has been more successful than the year before. Last year was a great show for us, and we think this year is going to be even better. So we're really looking forward to that. And with that, operator, it's time for Q&A. So if you'd open up the lines, we're more than happy to take people's questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. And once again, it is star one for questions or comments at this time. We'll go first to Joel Akramowicz with Merriman Capital.
Thank you very much. Hey, Rob. How you guys doing? Hi, Gary.
Hey there.
Hey, Joel.
I just, you guys are executing, in terms of the fundamentals pretty well, according to the growth that we all kind of expected going forward. It's just that this overhang issue, Rob, is there any solution to it, that you can see? Are you going to go to the mat on this one? Are you just going to just keep focusing on it and until you win, or is that your focus? I'm trying to get a feel for the long-term perspective here.
Well, clearly we think that the administrative law judge got it wrong. She was not experienced in gaming. I think she was confused about a number of the issues. We think that there's an opportunity to rectify this in California. As I mentioned before, I do know three of the four commissioners. They are very fair people, and we're going to continue to work with the regulators, not fight with them, because we are a suitable company. I'm a suitable person, and I think we just need to make sure that the one thing I think that's been lacking here is communication, and we just need to communicate. We've been doing business in California for about 14 years, and we began this administrative process with some applications probably about 11 years ago. And that whole time, we've never had any communication with the commissioners. It was just not allowed in the process, and still not allowed. So, it's important for us to continue to communicate with them and work with them and eventually be found suitable by them.
Quite frankly, from your perspective, this do you see any issue here? You've obviously put out this most recent communique saying that there is a possible chance that there could be some impact from this, not only in California, which has been minor so far, thankfully, but also in other areas of your domestic operations. When do you think we'll know if that, will stop? And there's no, how long might it be that we might have to worry about having some kind of long-term effects from this in your mind?
Well, I guess like many of us, you can worry forever. But, the issue, I think, is this. We introduced a lot of the risk factors in an 8K. We've included that on our 10Q. I think, you understand why a company needs to do that. I've always felt that if people ever seriously read the risk factors, they would never invest in any company. So, but I think that, could there be additional fallout? Absolutely. Does that concern us? Absolutely. That's why we worked hard to communicate with our clients, or communicate with other regulators, provide them information, and we're continuing to do that. That's an ongoing process.
Okay. Well, we'll watch things going forward. Good luck, and I'll get back in queue. Thank you.
Very good.
We'll go next to Mark Robbins of Catalyst Research.
Hey, guys. Good progression.
Thank you, Mark.
First of all, here's an easy one. You were talking about five new games for G2E, and in the last presentation 3 months ago, there was comments about some diligence and work going on in developing kind of revolutionary new games. Would we have those introduced at this G2E, or am I jumping the gun here a little bit?
Well, I'm going to give this the standard political answer, and that's yes and no. we are going to have some games that we've developed, but our philosophy at this year's G2E and it's been pretty consistent throughout our presentation at G2E, is we don't like to show games, new games, just to show them. We don't think G2E is the place to show a game to where we get people's opinions at. What we do is we show games that our sales team can write orders on. So the games that we'll be introducing, although, you know, some of them are new, are ones that have received the approvals. They may already be in some other casinos already, and they are something that if somebody, depending upon the jurisdiction, says, that sounds great, can I order one for my casino, our team will be able to write that order.
Now, High Card Flush was introduced last year at G2E, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so you know, that one will probably, because it seems to have such great attraction, that one will probably be there again. And then the probably the new changes to Emperor's Challenge will be demonstrated. And I guess I'm answering my own question. So let's go on to the next one. With Shuffle Master, you know, being bought out, what kind of situations or fallout have you witnessed from that, if any?
Well, nothing really. I mean, you know, there's always things happening in the industry. You know, the gossip, if you will, that goes through the industry. I think that, as we've indicated before in a brief communique that we sent out, we think it helps us, because I think what happens is that it's always easier when you're small to be nimble and to, you know, when the other guy zigs, you zag. And so, and that was always an advantage that we had over Shuffle Master in the past. I think by them being absorbed by Bally, now the battleship just turned into an aircraft carrier, and it's really hard to get that thing turned around. And so we continue to want to operate like a PT boat, and we can adapt a lot quicker. So, you know, we haven't fully evaluated it, and some of the things we'll see after it happens, but we all think it's a great thing. It brings a lot of attention. Table games. Obviously, if Bally is going to make that type of investment to get into the table game space, they see something in the future of table games, and I think that helps justify the whole amount. But, Shuffle Master sold out for $1.3 billion, and we have a $10 million market cap, so we have a long ways to go.
Are you hearing from the slot machine competitors and you know, anything like that, like, well, gee, they're getting into your territory, or you know, Shuffle Master has now kind of aligned itself in the slot machine arena, you know, that prompting any kind of discussions?
Well, Mark, I hope you can appreciate, as far as whether or not I've been contacted by any of the slot companies, that's something I just can't comment on.
Fair enough. Let's talk lastly about the California thing. We've gotten Mississippi, and you're going back to Nevada for, you know, to broaden, I guess, your manufacturing side of the license. Do you think that this is throwing a wrench into any of the jurisdictional progress that you've made or are making? Has it opened up a Pandora's box? Has it made them all look a little more with a more jaundiced eye? Or do they just know who you are because of all the years you've been working with some of these folks?
No, I think going into a new jurisdiction, I mean, a regulator is not going to be doing their job unless they ask questions about California. And so we just have to be very prepared with that. Our company is preparing a position paper that is going to go through each of the items in California and present the facts. And so we're convinced that if a regulator takes a look at all the facts, that they're going to come to a different conclusion than the administrative law judge did. Likewise, we think that if the California Commission was able to hear us out and let us present our case, that the California Commission would come to a different conclusion. So, you know, we're comfortable with the facts. We're comfortable with the evidence. Like we said, we think that the ALJ's decision was an anomaly. And, you know, we're as the commercial on TV says, we're comfortable in our own skin.
Yeah. Well, good enough. I know it's been a tough time, and I appreciate your help. Thank you.
We'll go next to Bruce Rutland with Private Investor.
Good afternoon, Rob and Gary. How are y'all doing today?
Good. Are you happy we finally got your game approved in Mississippi?
Yes, I am, and it's, I can't say enough about it, as you heard me sort of toot the horn a little bit on it. I think it's a great game, Rob. 20 years of investing, it's probably the one I've it's been a long time since I've seen a table game have that much a reoccurring, not only revenue, but patrons that continue to come back to the game over and over and over again. And I think that's a strong stance of how far it's going to go. So congratulations on that. As soon as you get a bonus jackpot system hooked to it, in a casino wide area progressive, I'll be a little happier. So, Rob, let me ask you, I'm going to go across the pond here and try to, I think most of the stuff on the regulations is a concern for us all, and I appreciate you and Gary's openness and honest about this and concerns going forward. But I'm going to go across the pond to the UK, at least in Singer Shufflemaster, has linked up 35 Lucky Aces tables there. My question is, with three-card poker and 21+3 currently still being probably the number one proprietary game and the number one side bet, is there any thought or do y'all have any bonus jackpot systems, or your terminology is inter-casino jackpot systems, to link up three-card poker or 21+3?
The answer is yes, and the answer is that we are definitely having discussions with some of the top people over in the UK about doing exactly what you were referring to, Bruce. So as you know, our pattern has been that we don't announce anything until after it's done. So when that is complete, we will be announcing that project is up and going in the UK.
Very good. Very good. Rob, can you tell me how many high card flushes, since we're talking about that? Can you give us a backlog order on that?
I think the number of placements currently is like about 20, 25, something like that. As these games roll out, and I've seen this practically with every game, there's usually kind of a slow rollout until you hit a number, and that number might be 40 or 50 games or something like that, and then they tend to take off. And so, you know, the fact that, you know, you were saying that the installation in Mississippi that you witnessed is doing so well, we know of some other casinos down there that are going to be putting the game in. They have to do it, and then some of the other casinos have to, you know, see it more often, and they have to hear from the customers that come in and say, boy, I like this game, I played it over here. And then the thing can just explode. But it's always one of these curves that starts out kind of slow, and then once it builds to, you know, somewhere, I'm going to say between 40 and maybe 75 games, once you hit that many tables, then if the game is truly a significant game, it just really takes off.
Got legs on the pin, Greg. And coming back over this way, is there a thought about linking inter-casino jackpot systems with 21+3, that since it is so well thought of here, is there something in the works that you guys are looking at maybe doing that down the road, since it has been out for a little while now, of course, here a little bit longer?
Well, we're really fond of our inter-casino technology, and we're very fond of our MegaShare platform. And so these are things that, you know, We've had some success with that. We haven't reached the levels of success by any means. We were pretty much excluded from being able to do the things that we wanted to do in Nevada because of the, you know, of the status that we had here in Nevada as associated equipment provider. That's the one of the primary reasons why we're looking for an unrestricted manufacturer's license. That'll really open the doors for us to do and host wide area progressives here in Nevada.
Okay, I was unaware of that, and I think that's, I guess, for me, that's where a little bit of the confusion came in on as this California thing came up and the approvals. And I know all the jurisdictions are different, what you have to have and what you don't to do those things. So getting those approvals there, are you already approved here, or do you have a full license here and the capability to do that? If you wanted to add one, I think in the past on the Milky Way series, I think that you already had an approval here for the Bones Jack Bob. But I guess what I'm asking is, do you have a full license and the capability to do that in every other state but Nevada to link these tables?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, you know, every state has different regulations and there's different approvals, and some states, you know, these things are not allowed. And unfortunately with gaming, because gaming is regulated state by state and tribe by tribe, there's no one universal answer for anything in gaming other than they're all different.
I got you. Okay. Well, I appreciate that, Rob. And once again, thank you for your you guys' openness, and you got a great team, I think, with you there. So good luck.
Thanks for the kind words, Bruce.
Thank you, sir.
We'll go next to Scott Butler with Catalyst Research.
Hi, Gary and Rob. Thanks for taking my question. Congratulations, incidentally, on continued profitability, even in this difficult time. I had a couple of questions about expenses, kind of, you know, modeling minutia. You'd indicated that Q2 legal expenses were a little higher with, you know, seeking new jurisdictions and, you know, dealing with the California regulatory situation and so on. And I'm wondering, you know, do you expect that to kind of level off in that and continue through Q3, Q4 as you, you know, kind of continue to seek additional jurisdictions and work with California? And then also, I guess, same question on R&D with the new game development. You know, what do you expect to see? And I guess maybe this is a Gary question, but and then I had a couple of follow-ups.
Sure. Yeah, thanks for the question. As far as the SG&A and specifically about legal, it's a little hard to predict. It really depends on, you know, what happens in Q3 and Q4. But we aren't expecting a material increase. You know, while we had $986,000 of SG&A in Q2, I don't expect that to go to $1.2 million in Q3. Could it be a little bit higher? You know, possibly. But, you know, when you look at our history, our highest quarter of SG&A was Q1, and that's when the administrative hearings were going on in California, and that's when we were incurring full days of attorney charges. We're not incurring days of attorney charges. It's now down to hours. So really kind of the short answer to your question is we don't expect a material increase in that area. With respect to R&D, I don't expect that trajectory to increase going forward. We just did have a number of submissions in Q2, particularly around GLI and getting some math done around some games and whatnot. So if anything, that will either level off or decrease in Q3. However, we're getting to a point where and as I said in previous calls, we're starting to eat up our deferred tax asset or our tax benefit of those NOLs, and expect those to run out probably sometime mid-late next year or maybe early 2015. So it's important for us, if we're going to have any sort of expenditure, the most tax-efficient expenditure is qualified R&D expenses. So we'll be actively looking for that, especially when it comes to some technology related products such as a Roulette product and things like that, where we can squeeze a little bit more juice out of our expenses when it comes to taxes. So maybe not in Q3, Q4, but most certainly 2014. We'll look on bringing on additional bodies and increasing qualified tax R&D expenditures in that area.
Makes sense. Okay, thank you.
Scott, this is Rob. I want to add one more thing to that, and I want you to understand is that getting an unrestricted manufacturer's license in Nevada is one of the most expensive licenses you can get in the industry. Nevada is extremely thorough, and we anticipate that there's going to be a significant cost associated with that and some of the other jurisdictions that we're looking to get into. So we don't capitalize any of those expenses. We expense them as we go, so there could be an effect based upon some new jurisdictions and some new licensing we want to get into. I just want to clarify that.
Okay. So while it might level off, it's more a function that the expenses in one jurisdiction are kind of running off, and maybe you're expending a little bit more in, say, Nevada. Is that kind of what I'm hearing?
That'd be accurate. Yeah, that'd be accurate.
Okay. Okay. Talk about the UK pricing change. When was that effective? And I mean, was it like an order of magnitude change, or 15% increase? I'm just trying to understand how to model that.
Yeah. So what happened was there was a product when we made an acquisition, the Prime Fillingham's acquisition. There was product placed in the UK that was given for free, and this was a strategy that Prime Table Games had in the UK to really quote unquote get the operators and players addicted to the game. And so the game took off like wildfire, and there was essentially a trial period that was in excess of 12 months, and we extended it through June 30th. So we had notified back in June those operators in the UK that we'll be charging for that, for those games right now. So I can't, because it's variable, I can't really give you guidance as to what that's going to look like, but we do expect a good bump, because I believe it's going to be an additional £3 per day per table for the game, and that's the prime bet addition to three card poker. I can't really speculate as to what that will be, but I will tell you that three card poker does have a significant amount of tables in the UK, so we expect that to contribute nicely to those revenues.
So long and the short of it is, even if only one table stays up, it would be incremental, sounds like.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, that's helpful. And then the price differential on some of these new games, I understand that they're going to be, you made the statement about them being your highest priced premium games, High Card Flush and the new poker game. Is it like orders of magnitude? I mean, if 400 is kind of your average premium game right now, are we talking 900 or 600? I mean, I'm wondering if you could help us in terms of bigger than a bread box.
I will say it's bigger than a bread box. Hopefully we'll be able to fit the cash in something bigger than a bread box. But, I really don't want to probably a little premature to comment on our pricing strategies on this. I will just tell you that it's going to the quarterly averages for these games will dwarf the quarterly averages that we currently have. That's probably the best way to put it. So it's going to be great. It's going to be significantly greater. But I don't want to discuss really publicize our pricing strategies with those products.
Yeah, I understand. Okay, great. All right. I think that does it for me for now, so I'll jump back in the queue. Thanks, and again, congrats.
We'll take a follow-up from Bruce Rutland.
Hey, Rob, I just had one more quick thing, if you could. This question's a little bit premature. Are you guys looking, and correct me if I'm wrong, are you guys looking at possibly expanding the patented on the 21+3 with either a side bet or a bonus bet or some type of progressive? Is that even in the thinking right now?
Well, we have actually one of the things we've done to give it new life is one of the things that we acquired from Prime Table Games was a little known companion side bet to 21 plus 3 called Top 3. And we've been adding this Top 3 to 21 plus 3. And, you know, much to, I think, all of our surprise, it's really taking off and it's giving this game new life. So it presents additional revenue opportunities for us in the future. But, you know, clearly it's been a very, very nice enhancement to an already very popular side bet.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, without getting too detailed, that could solidify and extend the patent, correct?
No, it won't. You know, when a patent expires, a patent expires, and there's nothing you can do about that. But what you do is you, before a patent expires, you try to take the original invention and improve upon it. And so the extension is really the new invention, not the existing one. So in a competitive world, you're saying, well, the old invention combined with the new invention is better than just the old invention by itself.
Okay. I wasn't trying to get too technical. I don't mind telling you this on call. You know, I'd heard that even Shuffle Master had done something like with the three card bonus bet, where, you know, they had made that a staple of the game to extend one of their games that had in the past, you know, got a patent with casino operators would not want the proprietary game that patent had expired without that side bet on there. And I didn't know if that was a strategy looking forward on 21 plus 3. But, okay,
clearly,
I appreciate it. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, clearly, Bruce, you know, adding these new inventions can extend the life of the games, but it doesn't extend the life of the original patent.
Okay, but you keep the trademark forever, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you, Rob. I appreciate it.
We'll take a follow-up from Mark Robbins.
Thank you. Obviously, I'm delving into something I know nothing about. So talk to me, Rob, about – help me better understand what this Nevada manufacturing license means. I mean, how does it compare to what you've been doing in the past to what you could be doing in the future with the license?
That's a great question, Mark. So as many of you know, we were the first company to introduce a wide area progressive for table games in the state of Nevada. And our client that we did that for was Station's Casinos. So we linked tables at various Station casinos, but because of the limitation of our license, we could not act as the host for that. So in the case of Stations, because they had an unrestricted license, they had the proper licensing that they needed, our system ran out of their data center. So they had their own data center, they had their own private network where we connected these tables together, and they were the ones who funded the initial jackpot and maintained the jackpot daily. So we provided a system for them to operate. And that's fine for a group that has multiple casinos and they want to link those all together. But when you try to bring together independent casinos or you try to bring together a much larger network, such as what IGT did with Megabucks, if you want to do that, you really have to have the manufacturer of the product be the one who is the host and be the one who is doing that has the proper licensing. So that's a big thing for us, Mark, is that with that type of license, we would be able to host these types of wide area progressives and mega shares and some of these other things that we wanted to do, where then we can you know, bring in individual independent casinos into that network.
Okay, and then to follow that up, you said that you are starting that process or you are in the middle of that process. Help me again with the timeline.
Our applications will be filed with Nevada next week.
Ah, okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks, Rob.
You're welcome, Mark.
And at this time, we have no other questions.
Okay, well, I want to thank everyone. Wish you were all here. It's a beautiful day in Las Vegas. But we appreciate your interest in our company, and rest assured, as we get any additional information, we'll be sending that out to you either directly through a press release or through the filing of an 8K. So I want to thank everybody for your interest, and have a great day.
This does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation.